We're going to continue our study of Sefer Shmuel Beis. We're up to Perek Tet Zayin, chapter 16, and we're up to Pasuk Hey. While we do know the end of the story of the rebellion of Avshalom, but also today we're going to dedicate for Refuah Shleima for Geula Luba Yehudis Bas Gittel Tzipora, and also Yehuda ben Miriam, shall learn in their merit. We know the end of the story of the rebellion is going to end well for David. But before we could see any sort of, turning of the tide and maybe seeing anything positive, matters get even worse. And we had left off, we had heard a very small little episode that happens to David as he's on the run, where someone he had come in contact with before, Tziva, who was the old servant of the house of Shaul, who was the servant of Mephibosheth, he came and, as the Mepharshim explained, he told some story how Mephibosheth is really siding with Avshalom, and Tziva has all this food, and so David buys, believes what he says, and says, everything that belongs to Mephibosheth is now belonging to you. Again, we'll circle back to that story in the future. So we're picking up where David is arriving in a certain location. Pasuk Hey, Uva HaMelech David Ad Bachurim. He was coming towards, he hadn't yet arrived there, but it seems his destination at this point was a town called Bachurim. Bachurim is a town in the tribe of Binyamin. And as he's approaching this town, which apparently David had felt would be a good place to at least have as a stopping point, V'hinei misham ish yotzei mimishpachas beish sha'ol. Behold, from there is a man coming out from the family of the household of Sha'ol. And we know that he's not a son or grandson of Sha'ol, because we've gone through that. Unfortunately, Sha'ol's children have all been killed, and we know his only living descendant, and that's Mephibosheth. But this is extended family. Ushmo, and his name was Shimi ben Gera. Shimi, the son of Gera. Yotze Yotso, he's coming out and going out. Umikalel, and he's cursing. Klala. He's cursing, and as we're about to explain, he's cursing David. This kind of mini episode is, again, all, from David's perspective, as we'll see, it's all part of this, the punishment of having to live through this rebellion, the punishment of having to be insulted and degraded and cursed. Shimi ben Gera, Chazal teach us, was a prominent individual, a prominent member of the Sanhedrin. He had been a teacher of Shlomo as a young child. Shimi ben Gera, this is not just some random person who's throwing out curses to David, it's a prominent individual. Now he's from the household of Shaul, thereby making him from the tribe of Binyamin. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he's going to be cursing David, apparently members of the household of Shaul have not kind of forgiven David, even though that word shouldn't really be used. Because in truth, we know that David did nothing wrong. David did nothing wrong to the household of Shaul. David did everything right to the household of Shaul. If anything, the Beis Shaul should be makir tov, if you think about it, right? Our problem is that we know everything, and we don't know what Shimi ben Gera knows. Mm-hmm. So does Shimi ben Gera know that two times David had the opportunity to kill Shaul and would have been halachically, if not otherwise, in the right to kill Shaul, and yet he didn't, yet he spared Shaul's life? And he convinced the men that were with him that we're not going to take Shaul's life. And that the idea that Mephibosheth actually has an estate is because David gave it. So, but we see from these curses, and we'll explain the curses out, it seems that at least certain members of the household of Shaul, they still hold it against David that he's king. In the back of their minds, so we know that Ishbosheth, when he was acting as king, was assassinated. David was very remorseful about that, and he publicly was remorseful, but the rumors were that maybe David did it. and maybe they believe those rumors. Avner, who was the general of Shaul and then the general of Ishbosheth, when he came over and said, I want to join you, and then Yoav killed him. So again, the rumors were that David perhaps commanded that. And so the household of Shaul, and specifically the Shimi ben Gera, he's clearly holding really ill feelings towards David. Mm-hmm. And if you ever were going to throw a curse at someone, besides the fact that it's not proper, it's not appropriate, it's not permitted according to the laws of the Torah, but here David is about as down as he can get. And yet Shimi is trying to almost stick the dagger in and twist it. Mm-hmm. In addition to cursing, as he's cursing, Pasuk Vav, Vayisakel ba'avanim, he throws stones at David, Vayaskol avdei ha'melech David, and at all the servants. V'chol ha'am, v'chol ha'giborim, mimino, mismalo, everyone, all of the people, all the soldiers to the right and to the left of David. Now, it doesn't appear from the psukim that there was any danger. Obviously, stones, there's no such thing as a stone that's not, throwing stones is dangerous, but mm-hmm. It appears it's more the symbolism of the throwing of the stones, not that David and his men were in any real danger. Because we're going to see that some of David's men, specifically one individual, is going to want to really, get this guy and stop this. And David is opposed to stopping it. You have to imagine if there was an actual, if it was sakanas nefashas, if it was actually dangerous, then David would have a different reaction. Now the fact that David has v'chol ha'am v'chol ha'giborim with him, and yet Shimi ben Gera is cursing and throwing out stones, it makes you think that maybe Shimi ben Gera is very confident that if this would escalate, he would have the backing of his local tribesmen of the tribe of Binyamin. And so that's why because it sounds like he's picking a fight with, it's not the largest army, but he's picking a fight with a very large group for him to be one individual. Pasuk Zayin, V'cho amar Shimi b'kalo. This is what Shimi said in his curses. Tsei, tsei, ish hadamim. Go out, man of blood. The ish habliyal, and the baseless, low moral standard man. So he's calling David an ish damim, a man of blood, which sounds like David's a murderer. Ish belial, you're a baseless man, you have no morals. So some want to say that what Shimi had in mind was the episode of Bathsheba and Uriah, because he had Uriah killed. Ish belial, at low moral standards, the fact that he takes Bathsheba. But I think the simple understanding of the psukim focuses us more on what would really bother Shimi. For Shimi, who's from the household of Shaul, that David, David's the king, and granted, he's everyone's king, but the fact that he was perhaps immoral with Bathsheba, and then perhaps, again, immoral and responsible for the death of Uriah, should that really bother this prominent individual from the tribe of Binyamin? So that, I think the psukim and some of our Farshim talk about it, that he's still having in mind the Beis Shaul, right? So the Ish HaDamim, a man of blood, so there are many bloods. It could be, as we mentioned before, it could be the blood of Ishbosheth. It could be the blood of Avner. Some even think it might be kind of backwards, but Shaul was held responsible for giving the command to destroy the city of Nov, Ir HaKohanim. But who started the trouble? Who went to Nov, Ir HaKohanim first? It was David. So something like Shimei is saying, had you not gone there, that would have, obviously it's nuts to, David is the victim of Shaul, running after him. He has no provisions, and so he has to go somewhere. So for Shimi ben Gera to hold that against David, it's backwards. But when there are emotions involved, and clearly because he's, as the Pasuk testifies, it doesn't just call him an Ishimini, a band from Benjamin. It's saying that he's Mishpachas Beis Shaul, so this is an emotional argument. So he calls him a murderer, but Ishua Belial, and a man of low moral standard, because if he did think that David killed Avner and killed Ishbosheth, then that is, you know, from that perspective, one might say it's low moral. It's having low morals.
It could also be like every mistake Shaul made, like he had a harsher punishment than David. Do you know what I mean? Like when he sacrificed when he wasn't supposed to, you know, like, and then he loses the kingdom.
Right.
Where David's making plenty of mistakes.
And not losing the king. Right.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, you could see where there'd be like enmity here.
Right.
People from Shaul.
Could be.
Right? You look at it and say like, where's the equality of the punishment? You know what I mean?
Right. And definitely, if you read when we take a look at the next pasuk, he kind of, you'll see, pasuk ches, Heshiv alecha Hashem. Hashem is returning upon you. Hashem is kind of repaying you. Kol demei beis Shaul. All of the blood of the house of Shaul. Asher malach da tachtov, that you are ruling in place of him. Vayitin Hashem es hamelucha b'yad Avshalom b'necha, and Hashem has placed the monarchy in the hands of Avshalom, your son. V'hincha b'ra'asecha, and behold, you are being treated with ra'ah. Ki ish damim ata, because you are a man of blood. I mean, you're getting exactly what you deserve now. And maybe this is what you were saying, that you know, Shaul's original punishment or the totality of Shaul's punishment was being removed from being king.
Right.
And now, based on your actions, you are now being removed from being king.
And not just him, but his whole, like,
well, not his,
Jonathan.
You know, right,
like,
right, right.
He's a good guy. What did he do wrong?
Right.
He helped David even. You know
right.
What I'm saying?
And, right.
Jimmy is like so sure of the outcome, because if David was sitting on the throne, he wouldn't be saying these things to him.
Correct.
He's sure Avshalom is going to be the king.
And he also, what's interesting is he also seems, and this is questionable. This part's not questionable. He puts a religious tone on this. Shimmy puts a religious tone by saying Hashem is repaying you for what you did,
which is true,
and Hashem is placing the melucha biyad Avshalom, the monarchy in the hands of Avshalom. Now, this may be very, this is, in terms of the punishment, so everything comes from Hashem. So this whole episode comes from Hashem. Shimi ben Gera seems to think it's coming from Hashem, and you're never going to be king again.
Right.
Avshalom, this rebellion is going to be successful. At this point, David does not know that it won't be successful. We happen to know that it won't be successful.
Right.
So when Shimi is saying that, is it that, has he been told something by Hashem through some type of divine intervention? Or is he just assuming and using his previous knowledge of the lay of the land that this must be coming from God? It's coming to you for the sins that you've done. And so he's using God's name without asking God's kind of permission to use God's name. He's making this religious and saying, you religiously deserve to not be king anymore, even though God never actually said that. Meaning, even in the prophecy that we had when Nathan comes to David and he tells him about all the punishments, it doesn't say that the kingship is going to be taken away from you, like it did to Shaul.
Right.
And fast forward, like it does to Shlomo. Shlomo HaMelech is told that at least part of the kingdom is going to be taken away from his family out of the goodness of Hashem's remembrances of David. He tells Shlomo it won't happen during your lifetime. It happens basically the week after Shlomo passes away and his son takes over. But David was never told that piece of it. So we're not 100% sure.
It's like Hashem had a soft spot for David.
Right?
Right?
I guess if you...
Because like Avshalom was upset with David for a reasonable reason at the beginning. Right? Because he didn't punish whatever his name was.
Right. But,
you know? It's,
but
like,
it's never a son's place to lead a rebellion.
It's just funny.
Right. So here you have Shimei ben Gera throwing out these insults, referring to David as this ish damim, this man with blood on his hands. Pasuk tes, Vayomer Avishai ben Tsuria el Amelech. So Avishai, the son of Tsuria, who's Yoav's brother, we've heard of him before. So he says, Lama yikalel hakelev hameis hazeh. Why is this dead dog? He's calling Shimei ben Gera a dead dog. Why is this dead dog cursing? As Adoni HaMelech, my master, the king. Ebra na, let me pass over, let me cross over or approach. Vasir Esro shall remove his head.
Very polite.
Right. Ebra na. So one would have expected it to be Yoav. One would have expected Yoav to stand up in defense of David. Not just defense of David, but such a disgrace. Such a disgraceful thing. So Avishai definitely has the some of the character traits of his brother. Again, remember, they're nephews of David. Tsuria was David's sister. So Lama Yikala Hakela. So why Yoav doesn't speak up, we don't know. In the next pasuk, when David responds, he actually doesn't respond to Avishai in singular. He responds to the sons of Tsuria in plural, which lead Mefarshim to think that Yoav was involved. But again, I think the question is better than the answer, because if Yoav was involved, so we've seen Yoav plenty of times before. Yoav's not shy. Yoav speaks up. The Navi talks about him speaking up. So, the question. Hakelav Hames Hazeh, this dead dog, so the, I don't have a dog, personally. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Dogs are known to be loyal animals. They're loyal to their masters. A dead dog can't be loyal. And so perhaps that's why Avishai uses that depiction for Shimei ben Gera. He's a dead dog in that Shimei, just like everyone, even though he's from the household of Shaul, he's supposed to be loyal. He's supposed to be loyal just because you're supposed to be loyal to your king. You may even say that again, it's a hard thing to accept, but the tribe of Binyamin, just like all the other tribes, had to come to terms with the fact that David is king, and that, you know, to some extent, David's also part of the family. Like, we always forget, David was one of Shaul's son-in-laws. Right, he was married to Michal. He's part of the family, and he personally never had it out for Shaul. And, you know, Shimei is meant to, you know, Shimei should have known better. So that's why he calls him Hakel of Hamis. He's like a dead dog. He's the most opposite of being loyal. And so, rightfully so, we would be cheering on Avishai. Here you have David. He's at the lowest point of his life, perhaps. And now he's getting even lower because this prominent individual is slinging stones and insults at him left and right, not stopping. And David kind of answers in true form. Pasuk Yud.
Michal and David, though, didn't have a good relationship.
Doesn't appear so.
Just say she hated him? Wasn't that like one of the last things we heard? She hated him. She didn't have kids.
I don't remember the hated. The pasuk testified that they didn't have children after a certain point.
Right.
She despised something that
he did. Oh, despised what he did.
An action when he was bringing the Aron back to
dancing,
the dancing in front of the Aron. She was upset with that.
Right.
It definitely appears that it, you know.
Right, and then it says she doesn't have kids after that.
Correct.
Yeah. Did she run away with him? Is she there? Michal?
One would presume, because
he left just his concubines.
Just the 10 concubines were left there. Everyone else came with.
Right.
So presumably she's there. When specifically, you know, this is taking place, you know, 30 years into the 33 years that he was king over all of Eretz Yisrael. So when, you know, how long does she live? Where is she? You know, we don't know those details. So, but we could presume. Pasuk Yud. Vayomer HaMelech. So the king responds to Avishai. Ma li v'lochem b'nei Tsuria. What is it for me or to you, O sons of Tsuria, which is plural? So definitely could be a reference again to Avishai and Yoav. Ko Yikalel. So he curses. Ki Hashem amar lo kalalas David. For Hashem has told him to curse David. Now David doesn't know that. David doesn't know that Hashem asked Shimei, and we don't necessarily know that. But David is saying, the fact that this is happening to me, it's biyad Hashem. And this is being divinely orchestrated that Shimei ben Gera should be cursing me. Umi omar madua asita kain. So umi omar, so then who can say, meaning what gives you, Avishai, the right to say, madua asita kain, why are you doing this? Meaning turning to Shimei and saying, why are you doing this? David is saying he's doing it because Hashem has ordained that this needs to happen, that I need to be cursed, that I need to have this disgraceful episode happen. And therefore, if I feel that it's coming from Hashem, you shouldn't take action against Shimei ben Gera. Mm-hmm. And the overall approach that David has been having is to be non-confrontational, you know, not to actively defend himself, to do it in more of a passive way. He's running away from the city, and he is placing, right, we have Psukim that talk about the kind of this spy network that David has put into play so that he can be informed of things that are happening within the city. But David's doing it in a more of a passive way as opposed to active. And so he says, basically he's telling him, don't harm him. David continues in Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayomer David al Avishai v'al kol avadav. David now is addressing Avishai and all of the servants. Hinei v'ni asher yatsa mimei mevakis es nafshi. Look now. My son, who came from my innards, meaning he's my son, my biological son, mevakesh es nafshi, is searching my life, wants to kill me. Va'af ki ata ben hayemini, and also now this Benjaminite, hanichu lo v'kalel ki omar lo Hashem, that he, hanichu lo means like leave him alone, v'kalel he'll curse, ki omar lo Hashem. It's almost like David is making the argument of, we got bigger fish to fry here. My own biological son wants to kill me. I'm going to start being worried about this random guy from the tribe of Binyamin, even if he's prominent.
Right.
I have so much bigger troubles. Ulai yira plus a good base. Ulai yira Hashem be'eni. Perhaps Hashem will see what's in my eyes, referring to tears. The Heshav Hashem li tova tachas kolah, so Hashem will return for me goodness in place of his curses. Hayom hazeh, or tachas kolah, so hayom hazeh, in place of the curses that he brought forth this day. Meaning, I'm going to leave it up to Hashem. And the Mefarshim tell us that, this is just the knowledge of later, that David felt, to some degree, Shimei ben Gera deserved some form of punishment, not necessarily of what he was doing against David, but the fact that, as we see, David will go back to being king. David stayed being king, and therefore, to some degree, David was always king, and so by Shimei being so insulting to David and his position as king, it's insulting to Hashem. Because it was Hashem's idea that David be king. So while David does not take any action against Shimei ben Gera now, in the future, specifically he's going to task his son Shlomo, to one of the loose ends that Shlomo needs to deal with upon becoming king is Shimei ben Gera and Shimei's actions at this episode. But kind of from our perspective here, in the moment, you know, we thought it couldn't get worse for David. Right, he's on the run from his own child, and now there's someone pelting him with stones and cursing him, and we're really kind of sinking David into the lowest of low moments. And the story is going to shift to what's going on with Avshalom. In terms of David, this may very well be the last really negative thing happening before we see a little bit of a shift and things becoming more positive from the perspective of David, of Absalom's rebellion going south. So remember, David was on the way. So Pasuk Yud Gimel continues, Vayilach David v'anashav v'aderech, David and his men continue going on the way. They're heading toward this town of Bachurim. V'shimi holich betzela ahar, and Shimi is kind of walking on the side of the mountain, l'umaso, opposite David, haloch v'kalel, going and cursing, v'yisakal ba'avanim l'umaso, and throwing stones at him, v'ipar afar, and throwing dirt, and David just kind of taking the brunt of the insults. And again, you have to imagine that there's no danger involved. If there was danger involved, it would be very different. Pasuk Yudalid, Vayavo Hamelech v'chol am asher ito, Ayifim, David and all the people that are with him, they arrive, they came, meaning where they were going, Ayifim, and they are tired. Vayinafesh sham, they rest there in Bachurim. So what's going on though with Avshalom? So now the story goes back to Avshalom. Pasuk Tazvav. V'Avshalom v'chol ha'am ish Yisrael bo Yerushalayim. Avshalom and all of the people who were with him, all of the people ish Yisrael, representative. There was representation of all the tribes. The rebellion was pretty successful in bringing the masses on board. As we said, he had the Lev Yisrael. He had the heart of Israel. The Pasuk says he stole it, but he had it. Bo Yerushalayim, they came to the city of Yerushalayim. V'Achitofel ito, and Achitofel was with him. It separates Achitofel. Achitofel, we already told, Achitofel was an advisor to David, who's now shifted in becoming the advisor of Avshalom. It mentions him by name. He was the most prominent advisor. V'Achitofel ito, so some want to see that the word choice of ito as opposed to imo, that emo is a much more in sync togetherness, that together in body, together in mind, totally on the side of the other. Achitofel ito is with him. And Achitofel, clearly, he's got ulterior motives because he's David. Now he switches over to Avshalom. Something that Avshalom wasn't able to realize is that Achitofel perhaps had his own thoughts, and is not with him 100%. Now, if you recall, part of David's plan was, there was a guy by the name of Hushai Ha'arki, and Hushai Ha'arki says, I want to be with you, David, and David says, you know what, it'll be better for me if you go back to the city. You're basically going to be my spy. You'll tell Avshalom that I'll be your servant, just like I was a servant of your father's. The only problem is that Avshalom knows that Hushai was a loyal servant to David. And so the question, the project that Hushai has now in Pasuk Tazayin, is Hushai has to convince Avshalom that he's now on Avshalom's side. He has to gain Avshalom's trust in order that the whole plan of David could actually work.
But he accepted Achitofel without a problem, who was a loyal advisor to David, no?
Right.
He was with him.
So Achitofel must have figured out a way to convince Avshalom. Why the Tanakh goes into detail about this, perhaps is because it's part of David's plan, as opposed to Achitofel. Pasuk Tazayin, Vahi Kasher Ba Hushai Ha'arki. Reya David El Avshalom, right? Even pay attention to how the Navi describes him. It was when Hushai Ha'arki, the friend of David, that's his title. Now, it doesn't mean he walked around saying, I'm the friend of David, but it's telling us something if that's how he's described. He came Avshalom to Avshalom. Vayomer Hushai El Avshalom, and he said, Hushai said to Avshalom, Yechi HaMelech, Yechi HaMelech. Long live the king. Long live the king. I see something in the psukim here where Hushai is trying to sell himself that he's going to be loyal to Avshalom. If you pay attention closely to his words, the individual words that he say, they don't actually say that he's pro Avshalom.
They're not treason.
He says, Yechi HaMelech, Yechi HaMelech, long live the king, long live the king. In his mind, he's thinking, David. But he's saying it in front of Avshalom, and Avshalom's, oh, he's paying me respect by saying Yechi HaMelech. He's going to say something else that's maybe a little more convincing. And when I thought about it there, now that I'm reading Yechi HaMelech, I see it here too. Pasuk Yud Zayin, Vayomer Avshalom El Hushai, Zeh Chazdecha Esreecha. This is the kindness to your friend. You're my father's friend, and you're siding with me. Lama lo alachta esreyecha. Right? You want to be such a good friend. Why didn't you go? Why didn't you go to your friend? Which is, it's just ironic that he's saying these words, because we know he did go to his friend. He was ready to stay with David, and the only reason why he's here is to help David. And yet Avshalom's going to fall for it. Why Avshalom, who we've definitely seen so far, Avshalom seems to be, you know, he's not dumb to have thought of the process of this rebellion and the slow pace, how he would reach out to the people coming to the kingly court, and just Avshalom's bright, and yet he falls for it. Sometimes when you really want something to be true, you believe it, and he really wants his rebellion to succeed, and this is almost too good to be true, that his father's close friend is ready to side with him. So Hushai still has to convince him, right? Lama lo halach tesriecha, why haven't you gone to your friend? Vayomer Hushai el Avshalom, so Hushai says to Avshalom, lo, no. Ki asher bachar Hashem, for the one that God has chosen, v'ha'am hazeh v'chol ish Yisrael, and this nation, and all the people of Israel, lo ehyeh v'ito eshev. To him I will be, and with him I will dwell. So all of a sudden, to Avshalom's ears perk up. But you think this is religious? You're basically telling me what I'm doing is the Ratzon Hashem. Right? That's what every, not every, in many instances, when people are doing something immoral, they justify it by pretending that they're working for God. And once they convince themselves that they're doing God's work, well, now it's a holy war. Mm-hmm. And so it's actually, I think it's the first time that Hashem's name has been kind of associated with the rebellion. Up until now, Avshalom's leading a rebellion. Why else do you lead a rebellion? You lead a rebellion because he wants to become king. He realizes he's not going to become, after the cold shoulder that his father gave him upon his return from exile, it's not going to happen naturally, even though he's right now the oldest available son. So he's taking matters into his own hands. But he never said that it was religious. All of a sudden now here's Hushai saying that it's religious. And that's why I'm siding with you, because God is giving it to you.
But does he ever use Avshalom's name?
Right. No.
So he could be talking about David.
Ki asher bachar Hashem. Now, we believe that Hashem orchestrated that this rebellion should happen as a punishment to David. But not that David would be king. Not that David would be removed totally from being king. And so, ki kasher bachar Hashem, to that one, to the one that Hashem has chosen, that's who he's saying. And then he says, furthermore, pasuk yotes v'hashenis, and secondly, l'mi ani avod, by me coming to you, to whom would I be serving? Halolath Nebeno, I'd be serving his son, meaning the son of the one I was loyal to, the son of my friend. Kasher avaditi lifnei avicha, just like I served before your father, kein ayel fanecha, so shall I be before you. It sounds like he's saying the fact that I'll be serving you, my friend David would be happy with that. Now, how could you possibly understand that? So you would maybe try to say some type of thinking. that why would Avshalom buy into this? Because maybe Avshalom would say to himself, listen, now that my father's on the run, my father is going to understand that he's not fit to be the leader anymore. And again, we have this whole we have a background kind of argument between Mefarshim. Did Avshalom want to kill David, or did he want him to just retire and take his position? Most seem to say that he just wanted him to retire and take his position, not to kill his own father. And so he's trying to Hushai is trying to make the argument to Avshalom that listen, your father's on the run, and your father realizes he's no longer fit to be king. So who would your father want me to align myself with, if not you? Meaning now that your father's no longer fit to be king, the thing that your father would want would be that I'm with you. Granted, this is not the plan that David drew up for how he would stop being king. But once he stops being king, and if David has come to terms with the fact that he's not fit to be king, then what else would he want than for me to sign with his son? Right? Lemi ani avod. To whom would I be serving? Halolothle beno. I'd be serving his son. So David would be happy that I'm joining your rebellion. It's such a backwards way of thinking. But when Avshalom is searching for validation, and he's getting it. He's getting it on a religious level. He's getting it that the people who are most loyal to my father are coming over to my side. I'm doing right. I'm leading a good rebellion. And so he's kind of convinced. He's convinced. And now Hushai has joined up with Avshalom's side. Pasachaf. Vayomer Avshalom el Achitofel. Avshalom says to Achitofel, Havu lochem etza ma na'asa. Havu lachem, excuse me, is in plural, which means he's addressing Achitofel and others who could offer advice, but Achitofel is chief among them, so he gets mentioned by name. And most likely he'll be the one to give the advice. He says, Havu lachem, bring forth from you Eitza, advice, ma na'aseh, what should be done? Because, well, what's next, right? Launch the rebellion. Check. Take over the city, capital city of Yerushalayim. Check. David's on the run. Check. Everyone, most the masses of people seem to be behind me. Check. Now what? What's the next stage, right? It's almost like you could imagine Avshalom, who's the super planner and does things in advance, he kind of finished. He's gotten, you know, phase one is complete, and he hasn't worked on phase two of the rebellion just yet. And so he's turning to his advisors, and specifically turning to Achitofel to offer options of what's next. Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Vayomer Achitofel al Avshalom. Achitofel says to Avshalom, Bo el Pilag Shei Avicha. You should be intimate with the concubines of your father. Asher hiniach l'shmor habayis, that were left here to guard the house. Vishama kol Yisrael, all of Israel will hear. Ki nivashta es avicha. The word nivashta, the Mitzvah Sion defines as ti'uv, an abomination, umma'us, and disgusting, or rejected. Ki nivashta es avicha, that you reject your father. Vichazku yidei, your hands will be strengthened. Kol asher itach, all who are with you. The understanding is that Achitofel is telling Avshalom that you need to take this rebellion to the place of no return. You need to show the country how committed are you to this rebellion, how committed are you to not reconciling with David and having David come back and take back his position as king. How are you going to sever the relationship? So there are a number of options. You could kill David. That's going to be the most effective way to sever the relationship. And we're going to see that Achitofel hints at that in the future. But David's not in Yerushalayim. And at this point, David's not close to Yerushalayim. But you're in Yerushalayim. You can do something that would sever the, at least to the public perception, would be something that really completes this rebellion, and that's to be intimate with the concubines of your father, of the current, quote-unquote, current sitting king, by you consorting with his, with some of his concubines, or all of his concubines. That's going to basically show that that you have no regard for him, you have no regard for his, for lack of a better word, you know, not, you don't want to use the word possessions because you're talking about people, but the relationship that he has with his concubines. Granted, it's not a relationship that we're all familiar with, for good reasons. And so but to violate that, that's to the public, that's the point of no return. And this advice, it's ludicrous. It's hard to imagine that Achitofel, who had been a proper individual, would advise such a thing.
Is this halachically allowed?
It's questionable. It's questionable because it's a pilegesh and not an actual wife. It's questionable. The fact that it quote unquote belongs to the king makes it problematic. But no one was willing to argue with Achitofel, because Achitofel's advice, as we're going to make mention of, Achitofel's advice was always accepted, and it was always really believed. But no one's so it's very hard. Even if you have to imagine it around, right? If Pasuk says Havu Lachem, and he was talking to multiple, you have to imagine some people around there think this is a bad idea.
Right.
But it's very hard, right? It's almost like the Pesukim make it sound like, because it says Havu Lachem in plural, that he addressed Achitofel and everyone, and Achitofel was the first one to respond. And that makes it very hard for anyone to speak. Lahavdil, it's explained to us that in the Sanhedrin, in the great court, they always started with the lowest member of the court spoke first and gave his opinion. Because if you went to the head of the court, you went to the Rosh HaSanhedrin, and he already says his opinion, who's gonna want to argue? No one's gonna have the guts to argue with the lead.
Right.
Achitofel kind of doesn't give the chance for anyone to say anything else, at least the way the Pesukim are presented to us. And we don't understand good and well what Hushai can't be against this. Hushai just succeeded in convincing Avshalom that he's on Avshalom's side. So your first matter of business when you're gonna be part of the king's council can't be to do something that's pro David. Right, while these pilagshim are individual people, and they will be harmed by Avshalom, it's an affront to David, and for Hushai to defend David, so he's going to be out. He'll be convicted as a spy. So he can't afford to be against this advice, and. You know, up until now, we've kind of seen from Avshalom that, for the most part, he's moral.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, he's moral. In his own mind, he believes that leading the rebellion is moral. He very much thought that the atrocity done to his sister by Amnon was immoral. And therefore, he had every right to take revenge and even kill Amnon, even if that's not kind of the punishment that the Torah presents for such a crime. But in his mind, he's always acting moral. But it's a warped moral, right? It's killing Amnon is the right thing to do because that's how I'm going to avenge my sister. My father wouldn't want me to do it. My father in heaven wouldn't want me to do it. But I believe that it's moral. For him to have a physical relationship and to be intimate with his father's concubines, if he sees it as the way, and again, because Achitofel is giving the advice, if he sees it as the vehicle to send the message to the country that he means business about this rebellion, so all of a sudden it becomes moral. In the back of our minds, so we have Perek Yud Beis, playing over in our minds, because Nasan says to David, in if you want to just take a look, it's kedai to see it inside. If you go to Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Aleph, 272 in the art scroll. Mm-hmm. Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Nasan is giving the words of rebuke, and he says, Koma Hashem, Hinani Mekim Alecha Ra Mi Beisecha. I'm going to arise against you evil that comes Mi Beisecha. It comes from your house. It's not going to be an enemy from outside. It's an enemy from inside. Now we know that enemy to have a name, Avshalom. V'lokachti es nashecha le'enecha. I shall take your wives before your eyes. V'nasati l're'echa, and give them to your fellow. V'shachav im nashecha. He will be intimate with your wives. Le'enei hashemesh hazos, in front of the sun. Ata asita beseser, you acted in hiding. The ani Hashem says, "Eses adaver hazeh neged kol Yisrael, in front of all Yisrael, v'neged Hashemesh, and in broad daylight." And here's the unfortunate fulfillment.
So maybe that's why he took the nashim with him, so that
that's why he leaves them.
He left the pelegesh, the plug.
You're
he
saying
took the nashim with him, so that way that couldn't
happen to an actual wife. But right, so we're still bothered. We're still bothered why David leaves. He should take everyone. I mean, it's not like David has a pretty large group. 10 more concubines,
right,
wouldn't put them over the provisions limit and the capacity. It's probably divine that he leaves them there. And again, it's hard. These pilagshim, we never know their names, and we don't know about them. They have to be part of this. I mean, they have to be disgraced. So, you know, however Hashem kind of works out the cheshbon, he works it out. But this was part of the prophecy of Natan and the punishment. And so, now we don't know if anyone else knows that, but David knows that. And so when David hears about that, that will be going through his mind. Pasuk Chavez, Vayatu l'Avshalom ha'ohel al hagag. Avshalom pitched a tent on the roof, or they pitched it for Avshalom on the roof. Vayavo Avshalom el pilagshe aviv. Avshalom was intimate with his father's pilagshim. Le'enei kol Yisrael, in front of all of Israel. It means that because it was on the roof, they were able to see. He did it in a way on the roof, these tents. They were able to see the Avshalom go into a tent with a concubine, and everyone kind of did the math on what happened inside. What's fascinating is the Ohel is al-Hagag. It's on the roof, because the whole episode with Bathsheba happened with David being on the roof and seeing down. It's happening le'enei kol Yisrael, and right, that's the broad daylight, because that's part of the nevuah, part of the rebuke of Nasan, is that's going to happen in front of Yisrael and in front of the sun. Meaning David, it happened at night, and here this is happening by day. Everyone can see it, and the perek concludes by kind of informing us, almost in a parenthetical way, why Avshalom listened to the advice of Achitophel. Va'atzas Achitophel, the advice of Achitophel, asher ya'atz bayamim ahim, that he was dispensing in those days, ka'asher yish'al b'dvar ha'elokim. It was almost as if a person asked God. That's how clear cut, that's how on the mark his advice always was. Kain kol atzas Achitophel, gam le David, gam le Avshalom, right? All the advice, now we haven't heard about it, but all the advice that Achitophel has given to David over the years, here's the hint that he had been an advisor to David. Right. And the advice that he'd given to Avshalom, we have to imagine in the short time of the rebellion, there have been some small pieces of advice already. Some of Farshim say that in the good old days when he was with David, his advice would be actually be backed up by the Urim V'Tumim. Mm. So it did have a divine kind of spin to it. But if not, it's almost, it had a divine quality because he was just always right and he just offered the best advice. Whenever, you know, if you have someone in your life that you always go to for advice, you might even throw out some type of phrase. You know, it's, you know, like it seems like it's almost divine what that person, right? If there's, I don't know, if some Lahavdil, there's some stockbroker, he offers you a good tip and then another good tip, and it's 30 years of good tips. It's like, you know, it's like it's divine. Mm-hmm. So that might be the expression, and it's almost like the Navi is trying to tell us why such it seems to be so. You know, again.
So out of Avshalom's character.
And also, you know, we're left with a little bit of a question. We don't, the Navi doesn't tell us everything. So we couldn't, you know, it would be interesting to have like the news report that night interview the simple bystanders in Jerusalem that day and say, you know, what did you think of Avshalom? Do you think like, right, so there are two reactions. The reaction that Achitofel was going for is, wow, he really hates his father. This rebellion is going all the way. I'm for Avshalom. And an hour kind of, maybe call it just, I wouldn't even say it's 2018 sensitivity. I think it's just Torah value sensitivity. I would be ashamed at someone leading a rebellion who went ahead and, you know, kind of in a very public way consorted with multiple concubines that used to belong to his father. You know,
but that might be what they did in those days. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right. I mean, it still doesn't seem to be like Torahdik. It doesn't seem like such a Torah value to, in such a public way,
right,
do such a thing. And so, but this was Achitofel's idea.
Except it was baited, basically.
And it could very well be that for the rebellion, it was the right thing. And that, you know, we kind of, in the next parak, we're going to get to Achitofel offers more advice for the, you know, if you want to call this episode with the Pilagshim phase two, he offers advice for phase three. If we could script two stories following, if, right, kind of, if he chooses to follow Achitofel's advice for phase three, if he doesn't, what would be the result? It would be drastically different, and it could very well be that this advice, for the sake of the rebellion, was good advice. For the sake of David, and obviously for the sake of Hashem, it wasn't. But for the rebellion, it may have been. So we're going to continue, Bez Hashem, next time to see Achitofel's further advice and to see if Avshalom will continue to listen.